Blog Talk Radio.
This is Saida Garrett, and I'm tuned in to Intro to Info with my girl, Makeisha.
You are listening to Intro to Info with your host, Makeisha from D.C. That's me, open-minded, business-minded, spiritual, a little hood, and very nerdy, and down to earth. And Queen of Hearts from Florida. She's so ladylike, family-oriented, quick-witted, and a real pillar in her community. On our platform, we discuss anything imaginable, but we talk a lot of pop culture, current events, and speak on our personal life experiences. We interview fantastic guests with unique stories, and Lord knows we just have organic fun. And check this out. If you want to join in on the fun, call in at 515-605-9376. We are live on Saturdays from 9 to 10 p.m. EST on the J. King Network. If you are an info for info, tune in to Intro to Info.
Y'all ready for this? Welcome to today's episode of Intro to Info. I'm your host, Makeisha, broadcasting live from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. So glad that you could join us on tonight. I was just telling our special guest that I'm looking forward to learning from her, because as we continue to age black women, we have to continually take care of ourselves, and sometimes that has to be adjusted as our numbers go up age-wise. So I'm on the J. King Network, a broadcast live every Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have great co-hosts, Queen of Hearts and Tam, and we discuss anything imaginable that we find just interesting. On this network are other fantastic shows that I recommend you check out, such as Kings in the Morning and Mary Had a Little Cancer, etc. Some really great content on the J. King Network as well as the Blog Talk Radio Network. Also, if you feel inclined to start a radio show, do it. It's a great way to network. It's a great way to learn things. It's a great way to bond with friends if you should decide to have co-hosts. And it's a great way to stay on your toes. Hosting a show for an hour is something that you have to have a certain amount of charisma and wit to do in the first place. So anyway, let me welcome our special guest. Her name is Robin Muhammad. I'm so glad she's with us today. She's the founder of Necessary Nutrition, Inc. She's a certified nutrition specialist, creator of Necessary Nutrition Vitamin D3. Robin is the founder, again, of Necessary Nutrition, Inc. She recently celebrated its 15th year in business, inspiring thousands of people to use food and nutrition to build and repair their bodies and use quality thoughts to build and repair their minds. She continues to connect to others to resources and tools to live a peaceful, healthy, filled life. Robin's personal journey to living a healthy life fuels her passion for helping women over 40 understand the best practices for longevity. Nearly 20 years ago, she was pre-diabetic, overweight, and confused about the right steps to take. Robin was fascinated with the power of food and the power of our mental and physical environment. At that point in her life, she decided to make a career shift, and she pivoted to focus on nutrition and personal development. As a certified nutritionist, she helps women transform their lives using food, nutrition, and impactful self-care habits. Robin, I'm going to stop here, let you tell your story. Thank you so much for giving us the hour of your time tonight. How are you doing?
Thank you. You're welcome. You know, I just realized that you're from Maryland, too. I just moved to the East Coast from the West Coast. So I was, all of my life, I'm 49. I've been in my entire life on the West Coast, and I just moved to the East Coast, to Maryland, 7 months ago. Yeah.
I saw that on your social media, and I think you're, like, in the Baltimore region?
Yeah. I am in Baltimore. I am in Baltimore City, and I'm learning all of the ins and outs. And yeah, I am a East Coaster now. First time I ever saw snow, because I'm a Southern California, so I've never seen snow, never had a coat, and now I'm over here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so was that a culture shock for you?
I think, if I'm being honest, so where I lived in California was, so Baltimore is black. Everybody's black in Baltimore. And in California, where I was not. So everybody was not black, and I was, you know, amongst everybody else. But here, everybody's black. So that's good. Culture shock, yeah. And then Baltimore is a city, and I lived in the suburbs. So, yeah, it's different. It's different. But I think in this chapter, this is, I would say, my next chapter is good. It's a great adventure. And if anybody has a desire to make a complete shift, do it. You know, I've raised my children and my child, and I'm doing something new out here in the DMV, as they call it. That I'm learning. I'm learning the terminology.
Yes, that's really something else, especially you being a black woman. And I'll tell you about myself working at Howard. A lot of my students are for the first time being around their own, because a lot of them come from SoCal. Do you call it SoCal, Southern California, right?
We call it SoCal, yeah. And I do know people in my community who are at, their children are at Howard, for sure. Yep.
Okay, so I was born and raised in D.C., so this is all I know, right? Basically, being around our own is all I know. So it's very interesting to me to hear the stories of black people who are for the first time being around their own all the time. Because this is all I know. So I'm like, really? And I'm just fascinated by their stories and things. And I know that you had some stories living on the West Coast as a black woman. So,
yeah, I do. And I think, like, being out here, I always call my mom, and I'm like, Mom, everybody's black. People at Home Depot, the everywhere, the police officers, the fire truck, everybody. I'm just amazed by that. Definitely different. But it's good for me. It's definitely good for me, for sure. Yep. And I would say this. So I have locks, and here, so does a lot of everybody else. In where I lived in California, not so much. So I was to find someone to do my hair. I had to like really find somebody. But here, you just ask, you know, there's plenty of folks to do my hair. So there again, I got married. So I'm 49 now. At 48, I got married for the first time. So I moved, never lived here before, moved here with my husband. Or he was born and raised here. But I moved here to be with him. That's a whole other story outside of nutrition.
No, congratulations on getting married and you know, starting a new life with your husband. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and that's another story for, well, I'll tell you this. It took us 30 years, or 29 years to get married from when we met, and it wasn't because we lost touch or reconnected. We just had I lived in the West Coast, we lived over here, and back in the day when we met, there was no such thing as the internet, and we would write letters, and we were younger, but we always had a bond, and then life allowed us to get together. That's another, like, that's actually a really interesting, fun story. I know we're going to talk about food and nutrition, which is powerful. You had asked me about that part of my journey, and I'll answer that question. I'm 49 now, and when I was in my 20s, I was not in the best of health, but I didn't know any better. I just ate what I was told to eat, what my family ate, and I passed out one day while I was driving. That woke me up, but did not change me, or I just went on with my life. And when I was 30 years old, I had a daughter, and I thought, I don't know what to feed her. Like, I have this whole human that I've been blessed with, and I have no idea how to nourish her long term. And I was pre-diabetic. I was overweight, and my motivation simply was surrounded around my daughter. I had a nutritionist working with me, And I discovered from that point that food will either kill you or keep you alive. Basically, the illnesses and diseases that we face are due in part to what we put in our mouth or what we don't put in our mouth. That started me on the journey because I became fascinated by what food can do. It's amazing to me about what food can do. And that's where the journey began. So that was nearly 20 years ago. And then by now, it's actually going on 16 years that I've been a nutritionist and had my company. And I love to drop the information so that my intention is that those that are listening can walk away with something that will help them and be better in their life.
Well, I have my notepad, and listeners, get your notepad or press the playback button, because I have a feeling that we're going to learn some timely information. Tamika has joined us. Tam, thank you for joining us today. Let me take you off of mute. Happy Saturday, honey. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. We're talking to Muhammad today, and I sent you over her bio, but we're going to hit the ground running. I hope you had a good week, Tam, and we'll chat offline, as they say. But, Robin, I get the feeling that you started your business because of what might have happened to you when you were younger. I might have that incorrect, but I have an inkling, and that's what happened. Let us know.
You know what? Let me tell you the real reason I started my business. The absolute real reason is T-Mobile, well, Sprint at the time, but T-Mobile now was going to shut my phone off. And let me expand on that. So I was working as a professional speaker. The nutrition journey was my personal journey, and I really had no intention of being a nutritionist and having that as a career per se. But the truth is, when in 2007, 2008, the economy crashed and all of my contracts got canceled. So I had a speaking contract all over the place. They all got canceled. Part of my speaking topic was about my nutrition journey and what it did for me. And people would ask me, would I coach them, would I help them with their journey? And for the longest, I said no. And then when all those contracts were canceled and the phone company or the cell phone company was like, we will cut your phone off tomorrow, I was thinking, geez, I have all these people wanting to pay me to help them, and I think I need that. And that's really, truly how the business started. It started out of necessity, and it grew into this passion. And that's the truth of how it started, why I decided to go full on. Then I went back to school to Axel. But, yes, it was a pivot, but it was situational that it happened that way. Mm-hmm.
So I was listening to you earlier when you were kind of briefing us on the details of the company. And I heard what you said mm-hmm. with passion. You're fascinated by what food can do for us. And I would really like to pick your brain on what you mean by that.
What do I mean by that? Yeah, so let me define what nutrition is, because I think that's important. Oftentimes we think when we eat something, then we're fed, then we have nutrients, but that's not the case. So I will share with you all some of the biggest nutrition mistakes that people make. But when you put something in your body, your cells, the things that run our system, have to have certain nutrients in order to work, vitamins and minerals. And if we're eating, it doesn't matter. If you're putting something in your mouth and it doesn't have the nutrients that the body can use, then we may have had something that was yummy to our tummy and we were full, but we weren't fed. So, for example, if you had green beans, green beans in a can that have been in a, if they're in a can, they've been sitting in a can for however long they can sit there, for years, right? Because so it's void of the nutrients in there, because live food needs, it's alive. So even though you're eating green beans, if you're eating the can, it really doesn't have a lot of nutrients in it. And so when you eat it, your body doesn't have, it can't take a lot from that to then put in your cells. So if through the day, through the years, you're not giving your body nutrient-rich, dense foods, which I'll explain, give you some examples of what that would be, then you don't have anything to use to fight with, to develop your cells. So illness and diseases are formed over time because we didn't give our bodies what it needed in order to thrive. And so as Black folks, we are number one on a lot of health disparities because how we've eaten historically, and it's tradition and it tastes good and it's just how we do, then we're not giving our bodies what it needs. So to keep it simple, and in this case it's simple and boring in this way, but I can break it down even further, but let's say fruits and vegetables, raw, ripe, vine ripened, not in the can, right? So if you're eating fruits and vegetables, there are all these vitamins and minerals inside of those, the produce that goes inside of our cells in order to build and repair. So I'm always a proponent of, with every single meal, getting in the live food so that your body can thrive. So, for example, and I'll just say this, like if you have a donut, I like a donut. We all like a good donut. There's no nutrients in it. Maybe you were full. Maybe you're not hungry anymore. There's no nutrients in it, right? So if throughout the day, again, you're picking up foods that don't have any nutrients in it, what is your body going to run on at all? If I can shift to some of the biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to nutrition in just a second, because that'll bring some of that. But let me just give you all some key foods, I guess, that in our bodies would do our bodies good, especially my focus are women in midlife, so women in perimenopause, menopause, and beyond. And as we age, certain foods even become more key to the journey of how that will play out. But we talked about fruits and vegetables, some other nutrient-packed foods, and avocado is a fruit. So if you're eating that, if you're eating omega, so that would be your salmon, your trout, mackerel, tuna, foods that, pumpkin seeds, flax seeds. I mean, there's so many foods that are powerful that give our bodies what it needs. But the bottom line is if you do not, and I always tell people, it's not what, I don't like to say don't eat this, this, and this. My thing is do eat every day foods that are going to give you life. Every day, it's all up there. Let me ask
I was going to let you keep going because everything was content based. I do have Queen of Hearts has joined us, and Michael Gay has joined us. I'm going to take them off of mute, but this is exciting because this is an education. Let's see. Okay, Queen, all the way in Florida. Happy Saturday, darling. Yeah. How are you?
It's lovely in my head. How y'all doing?
Good. I'm so glad that you could be here today helping me out here. Tam is here. Michael Gates raised his hand. Big Brother, I'm taking you off of mute from the Michael Gates show. We have Michael Gay with his question or comment. Hey, bro.
Hi, Michael Gay.
Good evening, guys. I'm sitting out on my front porch just enjoying the weather, and I'm just sitting back listening to your guests. And just taking it all in. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut, which is very rare, which people always say. But I'm going to keep my mouth shut and just listen and just absorb what I'm hearing. And I'll probably chime in later on with some questions or comments. But interesting show so far.
I think, let me share with you guys some of the biggest nutrition mistakes, because I think that is impactful. And that's some good takeaways so people can really look at if they're doing these things, and then we can see what questions come out from that. I also want to say this, so I don't want to forget this, and if I don't expand on it, please, I'll come back to it or y'all remind me, but it does matter, or it can matter, the order in which you eat your food. The order in which you eat your food can matter. So hold me to that thought so that I can bring that back. But some of the biggest nutrition mistakes or mistakes that we make is misunderstanding carbohydrates. So let me explain what carbohydrates are, what they do, and then examples of carbohydrates. So carbohydrates are our main energy source. So that's good news, right? So those are the foods that give us energy, except when we eat more than our body can process, when we eat more carbohydrates than your body can process, then the remainder will turn into sugar and store as fat. I will give you examples of carbohydrate-rich foods. So you have bread, you have pasta, rice, oatmeal, beans, fruit, popcorn, tortilla chips, potato chips, sweet potatoes, corn, grits. Those are examples of carbohydrates. Oftentimes when we're eating, we will have, let's say, a bowl of oatmeal by itself as a carbohydrate. So throughout the day, if you've had a granola bar, you've had an apple, you've had some chips, you've had a sandwich, you have collected carbohydrates throughout the day, depending on your level of activity, depending on the amount of protein you've eaten, which I'll come to, that those carbohydrates will either give you the energy that you need up until the point that you need it. Anything after that is going to turn into sugar and store as fat. The more active you are, the more muscle mass you have, the better you can process it. The older we get, the harder it becomes for the body to process that, which then turns into blood sugar issues, diabetes, overweight, and all of those things. So when people are overweight and they're trying to figure out, well, how did I get this way and I don't eat a lot of fat, people will say, it's the result of carbohydrates, right? The bread, the pasta, the french fries. And I'm not even talking about pies and cookies or anything like that. I'm talking about, like, foods that you are eating that are carbohydrates, healthy even, but it's more than your body can bear. So that's one of the challenges that people have, is just not understanding that. Let me stop there and just see if there's a question that comes up about that, and then I'll go to the other one.
Well, I do have a question. I do have one, and my main question is of us understanding sodium. You know, and that's something I've really started paying attention to, because me personally, I have two stents in my chest, right? Because I ate so much stuff that high in sodium. In fact, the night I had to deal with that, I went to the grocery store thinking I was having just a flu, but I was really having a heart attack. I'm just being honest. I really was. And the doctor said, you know, it's a good thing you didn't eat those ramen noodles, because they're very high in sodium. And I see individuals who eat that for lunch on a regular basis. And I'm like, hey, look, you guys need to read the package. You know, it might be a snack, but look at the long-term effect it may have on your body, right? So what's your thoughts about that? Is that where folks are out there just grabbing something quick, as I just said, and not realizing, you know, the damage that they could be doing to themselves down the road?
Yeah, so I can make it simple. Anything that's in a package, to preserve it, to be in that package, generally it has sodium in it. And the more food that you eat in a package, the more sodium you're going to take. And it's quite easy to exceed what is recommended in a day. So recommended is 2,300 milligrams. And nobody's most people are not counting and calculating. It's easy, let me give you an example, to go to the Cheesecake Factory and have one meal and get 8,000 milligrams of sodium. And you may have thought, okay, I'm eating salmon, I'm eating brown rice, I'm eating broccoli, and you've gotten 8,000 milligrams of sodium if you go to a restaurant, if you're eating out, trust and believe, it's so sodium filled because it's they're flavoring it for you. They want you to like it. They want it to taste really well, and you're not thinking about it. Pete, if you're eating out, you're going to exceed the amount of sodium because it's in the salad dressing. It's in the vegetable. It's in every single thing. So just know you're going out to eat. If you're eating at a fast food, if you're eating at a restaurant, you're going to match and meet that sodium requirement in that one meal alone. I'm telling you that. And then throughout the day, if you're eating anything out of a package, you're going to hit that sodium level.
Well, you can go beyond that level. You can go beyond
it. You're going to go beyond. Yeah, you're going to hit it and go beyond. And that's just the truth. So why do we generally, our lifestyle has us doing that. I love to get into, I mean, this is such an ongoing conversation because there's the reality and then it's like, okay, well, what do I really do about it? Because the solution is at a greater level of conversation. First, it's the awareness, right? And people hear this because I know this, I've been doing this a long time. People hear it right now and it resonates with them right at this moment, but tomorrow the information would have left them. There will be people that hear it, and there maybe one or two or a few will say, okay, let me make a change temporarily. But the way that our world, our society is makes it difficult for us to sustain what we say we want based on the life that we live. Right?
And
so
what we
if,
need,
it's like
right.
Telling,
yeah, no,
ahead.
You're definitely on point. You are definitely on point. Exactly. You are definitely on point. Please continue.
Yeah.
I'm liking what you're saying.
I don't know.
It hit me.
If you all can hear this, but in the back there's water running because we grow produce inside of our homes. So we grow it aeroponically. So we grow our greens and lettuces and all the things that we can grow inside because it's our, what I call it, my fresh pharmacy right in my living room. And so the water's running behind us. It'll stop in a little bit. But that's one of the ways that we control what is on our plate is by growing it. The way that I'm growing it, I don't have a green thumb. I'm nobody's gardener. I live in Baltimore. It's in my house, and I'm growing the produce. And I love to share with other people how to do that because it becomes a shift in mindset and environment. And when I say environment, meaning that the truth of it, for my truth is, and I would say this, if we went out to dinner and I was eating my brown rice and maybe some tofu or some salmon and some broccoli and you were eating some hot chicken fingers and some french fries, I might just ask you that I could please have one of your chicken wings, but you're not going to ask me if you could please have a little bit of my brown rice and broccoli. Like, you just are not going to ask me that, right? But I'm going to try to get in your plate. So for me, I do not eat with folks that, as I do, not because I don't like them, not because I'm bougie, but because I would be in their plate. Like, honest to goodness, I just would be. I really am, you know, it's like, seafood, you see it and you want it, and it looks so good, and I like it. So my environment is filled with people that mirror who I want to be. And as long as we are in an environment that is in conflict with who we say we want to be, the journey to being who we want to be will be harder. It will almost be impossible. Those that are listening, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter what you say you want to do right now.
mm-hmm.
If you don't shift.
But can I say one last thing real quick? And I'm not trying to be rude. I apologize. But the things that were, we already know that, I mean, you look at foods now compared to, and I mean, I'm 62 years old. I'm looking at tomatoes that look the size of watermelons now. I'm looking at stuff where, you know, and it really made me think about something where, the population is growing. And of course, you have to look at it where we have to make a way of feeding the population, right? Now,
right.
Again, like I said, I work for a major company, and I see where they throw away tons of food every day in this one location. And it blows my mm-hmm. mind because I'm thinking, damn, this company and others have locations all over the United States and the world, and, mm-hmm. and we're disposing of food. But you got homeless folks out there that can't eat, you know, and how can we come up with a way of feeding people, which is a constant conversation. But I'm looking at, you're throwing away food. I mean, come on.
We are.
Got to be something. Are you so concerned about a person, you know, having a lawsuit and everything? We could feed folks, you know, because, mm-hmm. see, if you remember back in the day, I remember back in the day, it used to say on the product, you know, expiration date. Now they mm-hmm. have on it, best used by. Okay,
yeah.
Wait a minute. So what's the difference between expiration date and best used by? Oh, well, the quality of it is okay, but it's best if you use it mm-hmm. before this expiration date is really what they're telling you. You follow
mm-hmm.
me?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to understand that and everything. But, yeah, so I'm like, you know, I mean, at what point do we, as us being the buying public, you know, read
mm-hmm.
between the lines and look at what was really going on with what we consume and put into our bodies? Again, like you said about certain things that you should eat, we talked about high sodium and stuff in certain products because the thing is they put those certain things into the food in order for it to last longer, shelf life.
It's
right?
Last longer. It's all about
right.
money.
Mm-hmm.
All about money.
The shelf life. Because it's just like the bread that we buy in our grocery store in Canada. You could not put those breads on the shelf because – you know,
yeah.
I think they probably throw away more bread than we do. But we have bread that
mm-hmm.
lasts for almost, you know, 2-3 months
mm-hmm.
based on the,
yeah.
the stuff that they put into it when they bake it
right.
for shelf life. So,
for
I mean,
shelf life.
Can you share with me? No, go, no, no.
Can
I'm
I
sorry,
say that again?
But go ahead.
What you were saying is it's about the money, right? So when the food companies, their intention is not to give you good nutrition. Their intention is to placate their shareholders and making sure that they're making a profit. So if the bread goes bad in a week versus 2 months, right? They want it to last longer because that is for their profit.
The thing is, the guys that control what we get in the companies and everything, they get their stuff fresh out the ocean, fresh out the bakery.
They do.
You know, not you and me.
They
okay,
do.
So, I mean, we have to really kind of like think about that, right? That's a reality in my mind.
That is a reality, and as long as we are, it's a heavy topic because, first of all, let me say this. The chemicals that are in the food connect with our brain chemistry and have us desire those foods more and more. Like, it's very difficult sometimes to say no, right? To if you eat something salty or sugary and it lights up something in our brain and we go and we get more of it. And the food companies know to what extent, well, how much of sodium or sugar they have to put in a food to make it so that we are just married to that food, and it's their profit. So it doesn't behoove them to have us to eat something different. The only way, if ever, is for us to or do what is being given to us, but that takes a whole population shift. People that are selling things, they will sell it if you buy it, and if you don't buy it, they won't sell it. So meaning that if more and more of us didn't eat bread. I'm just making this up. I'll give you this example. There used to not be such a thing as gluten-free bread, right? There was just bread. Now, all of a sudden, there's this gluten-free bread craze, and now they're making gluten-free bread, right? So they've created a new thing, and now they're selling that bread. And so whatever is because the population was saying, oh, I'm having digestive issues because of the regular bread. Now they're making gluten-free bread, and now that's what we're consuming. And so if we shifted and said, we only want to eat we only want to eat tomatoes that are good for a week, right? Or we won't buy these old tomatoes that last for 2 months, you know, and we stop buying those, then the companies would have to then give us what we're asking for. It's a supply and demand. But as long as they have consumers that are going to buy what they're offering, then they will sell what we're buying. And the only way they're going to shift it is not to buy it.
I like what you just said, because that's a very interesting thing. Gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
So what is gluten?
Mm-hmm.
So has anybody ever thought about it or researched it or you know, looked at it on the internet? What is gluten?
So
does
gluten
anybody know?
Is the protein. Oh, I do know. You want me to tell you or say it or no?
Yeah,
say it?
Yeah. I mean, for the listeners,
oh.
Because when it says gluten-free, here's the thing. It's not just bread. There's many items. Gluten-free rice, gluten-free bread, gluten-free flour, gluten-free everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go into a grocery store and they have a whole aisle of gluten-free products.
Yeah.
You
and
really
let's
can.
Think about why that's even, yeah, why that even happens. So gluten is the, and this is a great question. So gluten is the protein found in wheat. So check this out. So wheat, right, untampered with, that grows naturally, that is not modified, our body recognizes it. So when you eat wheat in its natural form that hasn't been sprayed or tampered with, your body knows how to digest it. If you eat it, when it's real food, your body knows what to do with it. You eat it, your body digests it, there you're on your merry way. But for the fact that now it's sprayed with a chemical called glyphosate, and then the wheat is modified. So it's no longer in its natural state. So then when we eat it, it then creates, the body is like, what is this? I don't like this. I don't know what this is. And then digestive issues come about. So back in the day when wheat was untampered with, we could digest it. So there was no such thing as gluten-free anything because our bodies recognized what was natural. Then over time, starting in like, late 90s, then the starting to spray these crops to make them resistant to certain pesticides. And then because we needed to produce it more, we started getting modified seeds that are now growing. And so now people eat it and they're like, oh my gosh, I have diarrhea, I have digestive issues, I have bloated, I have all these issues because the body does not know what this is anymore. So then the gluten-free craze happened because now it's like this protein found in wheat, gluten, no longer is palatable for a whole bunch of people. So now if you ate bread, if you had an issue with gluten here in America, but you went to Europe, you could eat bread over there and maybe not have any problems because of the way that it is given. So gluten-free came out of the now necessity for people to have these products, bread, without this protein in it so that it could be digestible for them. So I know a lot of people, and I actually recommend when people are having certain issues because this gluten mimics issues, inflammation, you can have pain, you can have allergies, runny nose, acne, all of that because it's messing with your digestive system, the gluten. Again, wasn't a bad thing back in the 60s, the 50s, the 70s because it wasn't tampered with. It's tampered with now, and some bodies don't like it. Our digestive system doesn't like it. So then if you eat gluten-free, now you don't have that protein in your body, and then your body says, okay, I'm okay with this bread that doesn't have that chemical or that modified seed, my body can digest it better. That's what happened with gluten, and that's why all these things are gluten-free now, where it didn't used to be a problem, because it wasn't a problem before. when it was natural food.
I have a comment. I just want to thank you for sharing with us today. This is kind of something that I've been exploring maybe for the last 2 years of just understanding whole foods and what our body really needs.
It really needs whole foods. You said it really, that's what it really needs. Yeah.
And just the part about a long time ago, I just heard someone on the radio talk about a grocery store, and it's probably the last place that we need to be at this point. And they were saying that everything along the perimeter may be okay for you, and anything in the middle is just trash. Like along carbohydrates, what you were talking about is I do know that to be accurate, and sugar is the number one for all of us. Not being having too much and not being able to break it down. So I commend you for, you know, studying and learning and getting this journey to help yourself and others. Because it's definitely needed. And I think the more, a lot of people are starting to talk about growing their own food, because even the organic things or whatever's labeled as this and that, I don't trust anything.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It is so, it's by design. Think about it this way. Let me just put this thought out there. If you're watching TV or if you're watching television, now back in the day, you could watch TV and the commercials was you're watching television. Pay very close attention to what commercials are on the television. You're going to see the majority of them as pharmaceutical commercials. Hear me when I tell you this. So think about this. If you're getting a pharmaceutical commercial about eczema or digestive system or runny nose or whatever, right? And then they have all these side effects. Those are the commercials. There's a pill for everything. So you're going to see a commercial about some food, some maybe fast food, you know, go eat a hamburger, whatever. And you're going to have all these commercials about pharmaceutical companies. Take this if you have high blood pressure. Take this if you have whatever you have. And that's who is funding the television, because the shows on the television need the funding to pay the actors and all of that. And it's the pharmaceutical companies that are funding them, right? So when you see those commercials, it's telling you, eat whatever you want, do whatever you want, there's a pill for that thing, right? For whatever. And so when us as humans, consumers, we're eating the foods that we're eating that we see on television that are being advertised to us, and we get sick, we get diabetes, we get whatever, then we now are on this pharmaceutical. The money is there, right? So they're like, okay, eat these foods, take these pharmaceuticals, and then there we go. The money. Feed us crazy. Give us pharmaceuticals. Rich. Not us. We're unhealthy. When the unhealthier we are, the more people get rich. Hear that again. The unhealthier we are, the more people get rich. Not us, but other people get rich. Because as soon as you get on a cholesterol or a blood pressure, you're on it for life. You are a customer for life. And how many customers are going to be lifelong customers?
I agree with you 1,000%. You're definitely right on that, because, you know, I'm probably a little bit older than most folks. The thing is that back when you used to have soap operas, right, which you only have like maybe two, everything now is talk shows and reality shows. And there's probably two or three soap operas that still exist at this point. But, you know, back then, what did they advertise to? Who did they pinpoint? The housewife.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's sitting at home watching these soap operas. The products that you saw was geared to the housewife. You're definitely on point on that.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at daytime television, guess what you see now? You see lawyers, because people want to sue. You know,
Yes, you see the. Yes,
you
see, right.
Right.
Like,
you
if
see lower advertisements.
By,
you see,
yes.
Yeah, you yes. see where stuff of where, you know, hey, look, were you the one that was involved into the such and such and everything? And you know, we do have this this
yeah.
law firm here that can get you some money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people watch
mm-hmm.
them and think, oh, if you're available,
yeah.
or better yet, if you are an individual who is able to be a part of this lawsuit, call this number. So, you know, that's what
mm-hmm.
you're seeing now, right? And that's interesting that you mentioned what you did, is that where, because people jump on that bandwagon. They believe in all that stuff.
Yeah.
But
you.
When it comes to
Thank
health,
you.
When it comes to your health, and look at all the products that they put out there, you know, it's kind of sad, in my opinion, because, you know, they're putting out false hope, I think, in a lot of things. You follow me?
Yeah.
False hope.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Know, so
every time we're on a medication, there's a list of side effects that accompany that medication.
Oh my God!
And
a list. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And then you get another med. Like my father, who passed away some years ago, was on, I don't know, like 30 different medications. He had a medication for a medication for a medication. It's like, oh, this medication makes you cough. Let me give you another medication to stop the cough. This medication that made you cough to me to stop the cough now makes your hair fall out. Let me give you. So it was just, it's a never ending road. Go down the road. You're in it. You're in it. And so then how do you not get down that road, right, when the CV is telling you, or the pharmaceutical companies are like, take this, take this, take this. That's where that food being your medicine, that's where it's being your power. We think about where the blood pressure, the cholesterol, the diabetes, the things, all of the major things comes from, or the digestive issues or the heartburn or all of that is because of what we eat. What we eat and what we think. And when I say what you think, because your blood pressure, you could eat all the good food and your blood pressure might be high because of stress, what you're thinking or how you're processing information. But as soon as you go down that road of a pill, and pharmaceuticals they have their place. Like if you have an infection, don't eat no broccoli. Like please go get an antibiotic, right? So it has its place. But we've become dependent on them as if that's the solution. And so with food, let food be thy medicine. Pharmaceuticals are chemicals, but they're oftentimes where they originated from something that was real. Plant, something that came from the earth initially, herbs, and then changed chemically. And we have choices to make, all of us. And it's an uphill battle. Every single day we have a choice to make, every day.
Mm-hmm. Can you touch on really quickly, you mentioned like being diabetic, and I think in our community there is this I don't want to say myth, but like people believe that because they're diabetic, they shouldn't eat fruit. There needs to be an understanding of what your body needs.
It does. So let me go back to the carbohydrates and the protein, and then I'm going to speak to the fruit, because the fruit is a carbohydrate. So whenever you're eating a carbohydrate, oatmeal, an apple, then having a protein source is there to buffer. Buffer meaning slow it down. Carbohydrate doesn't turn into sugar as fast in the body. So if you're eating an apple, then having a peanut butter or almond butter or nuts or a boiled egg, right, a protein will help that apple in your body not spike your blood sugar. So if you eat an apple or a banana or any fruit by itself, it could, depending on who you are as a person. I can eat an apple, maybe it didn't do anything to my blood sugar. The person next to me, they ate an apple, it spiked their blood sugar. But if we ate protein with it, it's going to slow it down. That is the reality. Fruit is very great, right, for the nutrient density of it. But if we're eating more of it than our body can bear, because it is a carbohydrate, some foods have more sugar. If you eat a grapefruit, it's not going to raise your blood sugar. But if you eat a banana, it might, if you don't have a protein. And it just depends on your body. So diabetics, sure, eat fruit, but know how to eat. People all the time that, oh, this morning I just had a banana. Well, you just had this sugar. That's what you had. You had sugar. Like, I had a bowl of oatmeal with a banana. You just had sugar. And so if people are diabetic and they're on metformin or on a medication that's keeping their blood sugar down, they don't stay on that medication. And they can eat that banana with the whatever they ate and not eat nutritionally because they're on that medication. That's the difference. You can do all kinds of things. And people actually prefer that. Like, I just want to eat whatever. I just want to eat what I want to eat, so I'll take the medication. But in the long run.
You got a good point, because even on my job, to be honest, I see people in the break room actually peel a banana. And it made me think about it, because a banana has what they call potassium. We know that, right?
Yes.
Which is good for the
body. Don't have good for cramps. Ooh, child, please have a banana if you've got some cramps.
So as you get older, and you know you're going to get cramps as you get older from time to time.
But I see that.
Some folks getting apples and this, that, and the other, and eating it, you know, along with their whatever they're eating on their lunch. So I'm glad that you said that, you know, something like a banana or an apple and this, that, and the other. But the banana is great for potassium. There's a lot of even spices. I don't use, when I cook, I do not use garlic salt. I do garlic powder, okay? I use powder more so than any salt. Now, every now and then, I might put a little sprinkle of salt to go with the powders, you know, but very rare, you know, very rare. But I like the fact that how you shared the whole thing about, you know, using the or eating certain types of fruits and everything. And also we have to put in vegetables and everything. But don't do the canned stuff. In my opinion, I've strayed away as much as possible from canned stuff because going back to the sodium, you know.
The sodium.
Canned stuff, for it to last longer on the shelf, stay away from those canned goods as much as you can. And those packaged goods.
As much as you
go
can.
With the frozen, go with the frozen goods, because that's coming fresh.
Mm-hmm.
It's frozen, packed, frozen, sent to the store, and then you buy it, and then you cook it at your convenience. You know, I mean, that's the safest way, in my opinion. And that's the way I'm trying to go, you know, for my health. So I truly appreciate what you're sharing. I really do, of letting folks know that, you know, those things. Another thing, let me ask you this, and the things that were where we were talking about, you know, the cup of soups and everything like that. I saw a video where they showed it, where they went underneath a microscope where there's, like, parasites in these certain items, literally parasites in these items.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad, you know, that people are still, you know, in a situation where they have no choice but to eat these things. What's another option, though? You know what I mean? Because they're so cheap. They've made them cheap. You can buy a cup of soup for cents, you know. And if you're hungry, I mean, what do? You know. So what's another option when you want something hot to eat? Is there something else that people who are in these situations who feel like that's the only thing they can bring home to their families and serve to their kids? Is there something else? I would think rice, maybe, you know, other than the
noodles. You mean opposed to, like, the ramen noodles? Is that what you're talking about, like the ramen noodles that are, like,
Yeah.
It definitely is designed to be, quote-unquote, cheaper. And so in order to feed one's family, you're going to have to spend a little bit more you're gonna have to spend. There's no two ways around it. Like the ramen are, you know, $5 for $1 or $2 for $1, but and you're trying to feed your whole family. But yes, you can get rice, you can get potatoes, but those are still starches. If you're just doing starches, it's still gonna eventually lead to the blood sugar being off kilter. That's where again, as I mentioned, there's the problem, and then okay, well, what do we do about the solution? The solution, the reality of it, because you're saying, well, what does a person do if they maybe they can't afford that? That is designed to make it so that you can afford the things that are not best for you. So then now you're getting on the medication. There's no two ways about it. It's looking at where am I going to spend my money? Am I going to spend my money on higher quality food for my family? Or if I don't have the money to spend, if I don't have money, if all I can afford is the ramen noodles, that's a whole another. That's like a whole can of worms. Different conversation. It really is. It's not a simple solution, because the solution is never going to be, we'll just eat. It's like if that's all you can afford, then you're going to go down a road that those foods are going to take you. It's inevitable. It's going to be the blood pressure. It's going to be the obesity. It's going to be the reality of what is in so many of our communities. That's right. Like, that is the truth.
Right.
So I don't have an answer for that very, very I don't have a simple answer for that very, very complicated question. The short answer would be you're going to have to put some more money into that food budget to buy other things, which, okay, well, what do you do if you don't have that? Growing my own produce, right, I'm talking about growing my own produce, is less expensive in the long run than buying my produce over time. If a person is needing, like, you know, you get your produce and you get some, if you need bulk, you're getting some potatoes and some rice and cutting up some onions in there, and doing the best you can. But, you know, if it's an economic issue, that's a deeper question. There's no answer to, if all I can afford is ramen noodles, what else do I do? If that's all you can afford, then the question is, what do you do? What can you do? You got to put some more money into it. You don't have any money. That's the bigger problem. That's the problem. Yeah, there's no answer for that. If a person has the knowledge to know, okay, the ramen noodles is not the best serving, they have the money to do other things, and that's what they do. But, like, literally, if you have, like, a dollar and you got to feed your whole family, that's a bigger issue.
Well, in my opinion, I think maybe, you know, thinking back of the old school days, because I remember when my mama used to get a bag of beans and go through that whole bag and make sure you rinse them, right? And rinse them off, you know what I'm saying? You know, you have to be part of it. Rinse them off and boil them beans and you know, and mix some rice. And you had beans and rice probably for dinner. That was it.
Yeah.
You know?
And instead of ramen noodles. A bag of beans. You know what? You did do a good solution. So a bag of beans it'll last you a while, and it is cost effective. The raw beans, not the canned. Soak those beans and cook those beans in a pot. You're right. You did not go wrong there.
Yep. Take the time and boil those beans. And it's healthier than what's in that can. Definitely.
And if you do navy beans, you're doing even better.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
This is such a great show. It is an education. Yeah. Once the co-host joined and Michael joined, I really said, I'm just going to sit back and really listen. I was engaged, though, mentally, because we all needed this conversation. Robbie, you are knowledgeable. You know how to elaborate. You know how to put things down. One of my biggest takeaways is the fact that the body is so intelligible of knowing what it needs and what it doesn't, and how it reacts to what it needs and what it doesn't, and what it does in turn if it has what it
versus what it doesn't. This is amazing.
Correct. Yeah, it'll tell you. It'll tell you, okay, no, I don't like this. This isn't good for me. And then we'll say, no, be quiet, body. I'm just going to still give it to you. Even for me, when I had passed out, I was like, I'll just be okay. I don't know. I'll just keep going. Yeah, it tells you every step of the way. And when you mute your body or you don't listen, it's always giving you warnings, always, every single day, every day. Whenever you feel bloated, it's telling you something. Whenever you, anytime, if you're thirsty, it's telling you. If you have a headache, it's telling you. If you're not having bowel movements properly, it's telling you. If you're having bowel movements that are not full or runny, it's telling you. It's telling you all the time. If you're not getting enough sleep, it's telling you, right? But we're in a world that we're going along with the wave of this flow. And in order to be different, you have to push against the flow. This flow. You cannot go with this flow. You cannot. You have to be knowledgeable and take a stand. You have to take a stand for yourself and just say, this is what I'm not going to do. Whatever y'all are doing, y'all can do that, but this is what I'm going to do over here. And then for me, I always often feel like the oddball or the, you know, I'm going against the grain, but it's okay. You know, I'm accustomed to it now because I look at my counterparts who are going with the flow, this flow, and then me who is going against the grain and where I am and where they are. And now the life that chose me, I suppose, nearly 20 years ago. But it's who I am now and what I feel better. I don't have aches and pains and issues with perimenopause and menopause. I'm still in that space, but don't feel good when I put certain things in my body. That's just the way it is. And sometimes you don't know how good feels because you're used to not feeling that way. If we've been accustomed to not giving our bodies what it needs, you don't even know what good feels like. You're just accustomed to being tired and low energy. You just don't know what the alternative feels like. I know our time is up because I know we've come to the hour, and it's been, yeah. And so I know we could talk endlessly, in theory,
it's an awesome conversation.
It was so good. And so anybody who wants to follow you on social media or reach out to you or, patronize you, your company, how can they reach out?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So the easiest way to find me is at necessaryvitamind.com. So the word necessary, the word vitamin, the letter D.com. And so what I specialize, and we didn't even get to talk about this, but that's okay, is sharing with people really the importance of vitamin D. It's an easy deficiency to have, an easy deficiency not to have, and low vitamin D is very common for Black folks. And when it came to, like, COVID, we had obviously the worst outcome, but it also had a correlation to the amount of vitamin D we had. So necessaryvitamind.com, and if there's a drop-down menu, and it'll talk also about the PAWS plan, which is designed for women who are in that perimenopause, menopause space that are confused about what to eat and not eat to mitigate signs and symptoms. And then on Instagram, I am Nessy Nutri, NessyNutri, N as in Nancy, E, S as in Sam, Y, N as in Nancy, U, T as in Tom, R-I, Nessy Nutri on Instagram, and then necessaryvitamind.com is our website.
Everything that you said, but baby sis, please send that to me. You can email that, please. Because I definitely want to follow up and look at what she has available on her website. Great show, sis. Great show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Michael, and Tam, and Queen of Hearts, and all of our listeners who are listening live will be at the Archive Podcast. And Robin, I think this was right on time. I'm going to actually share this
on my pages and things. It's needed. And for the young people, they don't think about as much the long-term effects that you spoke of, because they have a little bit of time to play around, but if we 38, 39, 40 on, you know, going on up that youngster road, you know.
You know, and the part about food that's interesting, if you were to eat a food that didn't serve you and it immediately gave you an electric shock, you would think twice about eating it, right? But when we're eating something that's seemingly so pleasurable, because we are wired for pleasure, we want pleasure. When you're eating something that may not serve you long term, in that short term, it tastes good, it feels good, and so you don't think that you just don't associate it with long term issues, because in that moment, it's just giving you what you desire. Yeah. And that's unlike any other thing, right? Like maybe with alcohol, you don't need that every day to live. You don't need to be at the bar. Now, you might want to be, but you don't need to be to live. With food,
Yep. It's
like tricky, because you got to eat something mostly every day unless you're fasting. But generally, you're eating something. And it's every single day we have many, many choices that we have to make. And it's a compound effect, right? So over time, the choices we made yesterday, 2 years ago, the choices we're going to make tomorrow about what we put in our body will either move us forward or set us back. That's it. Anytime you put something in your mouth, it's either going to move you forward or set you back.
You know, what I love about tuning into my sister's show is that where she has such great guests, including yourself, that definitely have some great topics to talk about regarding health-wise and the whole gamut, right? That's so great. And so, again, I'm really in awe because I'm listening to what you're sharing. And then my sis here, she's bringing you on. And you know, this is something that, you know, I don't copy off of her, but I learn from her because that's what I want to do on my show, to keep the fact of educating. And so this is a great thing for people to listen to. It's educational, you know, and you can't get away from educating not just young folks, but even older folks. Everybody can learn something new every day, and I'm learning something now. So I truly appreciate it, and I'm glad that I tuned in this evening. Thank you for your knowledge and your experience and your sharing, you know. Truly appreciate it.
I want to give a shout-out to one of our chairpersons at Howard. She says learning is on a continuum. So shout out to Ingrid Sturgis, who taught me that, and I agree with that. And Michael, thank you so much. I've learned equally as much from you. You are fantastic, and you have to give people their flowers. And my grandmother says, somebody do something for you, don't forget it. So you have taught me things as well. And if I can, in turn, pour back into you, then our job is done. Robin, thank you so much for a great hour.
Thank you, too. I learned from you, too, you know. As they say, fair exchange is never a robbery. Fair exchange is not a robbery.
That's right. So we're going to get out of here now, guys. We'll be back next week, same bad time, same bad channel. You've been listening to the Intro to Info with Makisha, Robin Muhammad, Tamika, Queen of Hearts, Michael Gay. Stay blessed. God is. Good night. Thank you, everybody.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
I'm going to get you a closing theme. I'm going to give you a closing theme, okay? We're going to get you some music to close out your show.
So are we off the air? Yes? Are we off the air now? Hello? Okay, bye.
Probably so. Yeah, I'm going to get her a closing theme. I'm going to give her some kind of music closing theme. But, yeah, great show. Thank you so much. Good night.